Today on the Battle Plan Podcast, we are live at the 2024 Arkansas Baptist State Convention annual meeting.
Yeah, today we will be talking to Bobby Thomas of the Arkansas Baptist Foundation about dollars and cents. Up next on the Battle Plan Podcast.
Hey, welcome to this episode of the Battle Plan Podcast. This is Neil Scoggins. I'm a current church planner and a church planning strategist with the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, along with my friend here.
Vince Blueball. Former church planter.
Yeah. What? That's it?
Oh, I got lots of titles.
You got a lot of titles. Yeah. Candy's
husband. Candy's driver. Candy's check payer.
I got you. That's
luggage
good.
Luggage carrier.
That's all of that. I'm Aaron's luggage carrier, too. Yeah. So there you go. So Vince, here's the deal. So today, this topic, and I know you talk about it all the time, about dollars and cents. Dollars and cents. Not C-E-N-T-S, but S-E-N-S-E. If I could spell it, it would make more sense. But you talk about money a lot as it relates to church planters and how we handle our money. So today we have somebody that is well versed in handling that.
Because he's loaded.
He's loaded. No. He said he's not loaded. You just know people that are loaded.
Maybe.
There you go. Bobby Thomas of the Arkansas Baptist Foundation. Bobby, thank you, man, just being part.
Glad to do it. Yeah. Excited to do it. Yeah. Excited for you guys. I'm glad this is a thing now, right?
Yeah, it
is
a thing.
You know, we've been talking about it for a long time, and finally the thing has become a reality.
Well, this is our second one, and we're already in negotiations with like Warner Brothers and stuff for syndication. I mean, it's crazy. It's going everywhere.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there you go. Speaking of that, we got to cut off short because, you know, we got that thing with the attorneys when we leave here.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
So, can I say this? So, money is a big deal. Church planters don't want to talk about money. Jesus talked about money a lot. Okay. It's in the Bible a lot.
Yeah.
If a church planter, he can have the best ministry, he can have the best strategy, but if he mishandles the money, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
And I figured out when I first came to the ABSC almost 4 years ago, Bobby, that Bobby and the guys in the foundation were friends. And that they had an expertise that most of us as church planners, we just don't have. Most of us don't think about the money. It's just a thing there that we pay the light bill with.
Yeah.
But I figured out early on that church planters need help handling money from the church standpoint, but also from their own personal. Like, most church planters aren't thinking about, hey, I'm going to retire.
Right.
And for me, when I had my heart attack, I was 41. That instantly brought that into focus because I realized I have a shelf life.
Yeah.
And at that point, Candy and I were late to the game, but when I was early 40s, I started thinking about retirement. Yeah. What I'd like to do now is for some of our church planters at a young age to begin thinking about that, even though it's not even on the horizon.
Yeah.
But anyway, I've used Bobby and his whole staff over there at the foundation for stuff for the church planners. So, Bobby, thanks for being here, man. Appreciate
I'm thrilled to be here. And again, as Vince said, it's such a needed conversation. And even in our conversations with pastors all across the state or with our partners at Guidestone, it is remarkable how we hear the stories over and over of guys that have failed to start and failed to have the conversation. And, you know, so many times we shy away from conversations in which we don't have confidence in.
Yep.
And I think this is one of those areas that's easy to shy away from, but it is a reality that you have to deal with.
Yeah.
And so I'm so thankful to have the chance to speak into that.
Yeah. So, Bobby, what's the Bobby Thomas story? Where did you start? I know you're from West Memphis.
Yep, from West Memphis.
Did
Crittenden
you
County.
Play basketball?
I had a chance to play multiple sports growing up, you know, typical play basketball, baseball, football, that type thing growing up as a kid. And so born to teenage parents. My parents got married when they were teenagers.
Wow.
Grew up at First Baptist West Memphis. Tommy Henson was the pastor there, then Tommy Cunningham.
Wow.
And so really neat there, saved at 11. So was involved in Jim Agee was my youth guy, for those that may know Jim Agee. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, there's a lot of cool, you know, Jeff Ginn.
You're older than I thought you were.
Well, Jeff Ginn was my youth guy before Jim Agee. So, anyway.
Oh, man.
So a lot of great folks came through First Baptist West Memphis. And so... really the only place I knew. Went to school at UCA here in Conway for undergrad, and been in Central Arkansas ever since.
Wow. So when you say you went to UCA, I'm just curious, were you involved? Well, let's see, when you came through, it's probably called BSM. Or BSU, BSU.
I was not.
Wow.
Oddly enough, I was not. I did go to First Baptist there in Conway.
Okay.
When I was in school there, and then actually we're recording this at Geyer Springs. I guess it's okay to say we're here at the annual meeting.
Yeah.
And so I ended up moving to Little Rock in 1997 and joined Geyer Springs while Paul Sanders was the pastor here.
Wow. Yeah, so. So was Geyer Springs? It wasn't even at this place.
It was. It was. Was it? Yep. It was it here just in 97. Moved.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I got you. Wow. So your title is CEO?
President CEO.
Yeah, president and CEO of the foundation. What does that mean?
Well, it's funny. We've talked about that a fair amount over the last year at the foundation. And really, there's a lot of my job description that starts with the word oversee. oversee the preparation and presentation of a budget, oversee the management of our staff. But also one of my primary responsibilities to build relationships, like Vince alluded to, with the ministry teams of the convention, with our other agencies and institutions. If you would ask my girls, we have two daughters that are 17 and 20. They say I go to board meetings for a living. That's literally what they said on Father's Day one time at our church in an interview.
Are you kidding me?
They said I went to board meetings for a living. So
wow.
But yeah.
That's funny.
Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah, out of my man. I thought that's what he did anyway, is go to board meetings all the time. Vince, you got some? What are you scratching your head?
No, I'm not. Yeah. I just, I was talking to a church planner the other day, new one. He said, I don't have a budget. Mm. And I said, have you received money? And he said, yes. I said, have you spent part of that money? He said, yes. I said, then you have a budget. You just don't have it on paper yet. Let's kick off your segment by just kind of give a little bit of an overview and lead us in. I think you've got three principles you want to share with us, but just kind of start.
Well, I would say, as you said, you have a budget whether you know it or not, right? And there's some expectation. And I would really encourage folks to begin to think about that with two key terms in mind. One's essential. What things are essential? For us to have church next week, for us to have in 6 months, what's essential? What do we have to have come in financially for that to happen?
Yeah.
And then what's ideal? What would ideally, if we were allowed, and this isn't necessarily a dream phase, but ideally, we would be able to have X amount of resources so that you can, provide for your people in a certain way. And then there's a whole nother third dream category out there that, oftentimes we don't even know what the Lord has for us until we experience that fish and loaves type moment.
Yeah.
But, and as you prepare that initial budget, you have to think about personnel. You have to think about facilities and whatever your mechanism may be.
That's right.
And then you have to think about missions. What are our outreach into our local community and what do those expenses look like? And really, no matter if you're 1 week old or 100 years old, the church is still challenged with those same three things.
That's right.
People, facilities, and missions.
Wow.
And so really, if you can get that in your DNA early on and begin to think about what are reasonable percentages in our mind of every dollar that comes in that I would like to see spent in those three areas. And again, dealing with the reality of what's essential today, but what might be the ideal scenario or ratio in the future, and it's not a one size fits all. There's some situations, as you all well know, where the facilities is not a burden at the beginning. Maybe someone's allowing you to meet in a space. That ends quick, right?
Yeah.
And free's free for a reason, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And then there's other situations, especially in expansion or acquiring your own facility for the first time, where facilities take up a disproportionate amount of the budget.
That's right.
And you're like, hey, that's a reality today, but I don't want it to be a reality in 3 years or 5 years.
That's right.
How can we work towards that? So I think being just cognizant and aware of those things and having very intentional conversations about here's the essentials of our reality today, but where ideally would we be at some point in the future? And just being aware of that, I think, is a really critical first step.
So let me piggyback on that, because you talk about what's essential, what's ideal, and then the dream phase. Is there a time that let's look at a church plan when you're coming out, and let's say that you have a facility coming out that's free for 6 or 8 months or whatever. Is there a time frame that you can jump in and start talking about the dream phase, or do you do you just focus on what's essential and what's ideal now and then?
Well, I think essential and ideal is critical. I think at times, especially when you're putting that initial team together, we may spend too much time dreaming and not enough time dealing with the reality of the moment until we're in it.
That's good.
And so I think having that healthy, prayerful time about what the future might be with your key leadership team is really, really essential. And you have to keep doing that, right? Yeah. Whether week one, you know, week 100, whatever the case may be, you have to keep doing that. But I think sometimes we spend so much time dreaming initially that when the reality of the moment hits us, it causes a critical pain point, and some folks just a stress level that skyrockets.
Yeah.
And just saying that, no, we have essential realities that we have to deal with today. And again, you all know this, those essential realities don't go away.
No, they don't.
You know, they may be new,
and
they may morph into something different.
That's right.
But there will always be a tension amongst what is essential and what feels like an emergency today financially versus what, where do we want to be? Where do we want to get to? And so,
So would you agree with this that a majority of, you said pain points, so a majority of financial pain points simply come from lack of planning? Not all, but just.
Yeah, I would say lack of planning and just a lack of a desire to really deal with it or lack of a willingness to say, let's have the conversations. Because I would say a lot of the financial pain points within a church plant, you know, we all could say we know they're coming, right?
Yeah,
we know it's coming when, you know, there's going to be a pain point if you try to take a ministry staff member from bivocational to full-time vocational.
That's right.
There's going to be a pain point when you try to add the second staff member.
That's right.
There's going to be a pain point when you try to get your own facility. I mean, we know what they are, right? And that's the thing that can be a little frustrating at times is that there's enough church plants and enough mutual shared experiences that we can lay out a roadmap of where the pain points might be.
Yeah.
And it's just being willing to talk about them, anticipate them.
Yeah.
And the other thing about this whole anticipation thing too, most of the things that I've read and you guys may see other things, it's going to take about 6 months for someone to be visiting and attending your church plant before they get financially invested church plant. And that's the other thing that I think folks forget because they think, hey, when they show up, their money shows up.
Nope.
Well, the money's about 6 months behind.
That's
a lagging wagon, right?
And you know what? And that, depending on the culture that you're in, if you're in a rural environment or you're in an inner city environment, it's going to be longer than that.
Right.
You know,
right.
With that. So that's minimum. That's
and
6 months.
It may never be consistent. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
Well, and one of the things too, and I don't want to lose sight of the dream phase because, you know, I believe our God is a God of abundance.
Right.
And so much a scarcity mindset can really set in a lot of these conversations, right? That, where are the resources going to come from and everything's so tight. But, you know, we can't lose sight of that the Lord knows and He is a God of abundance.
Yeah.
But so there again, there's a tension there, even between scarcity and abundance and the reality of what we feel versus the power of what our Lord could do, right?
Yeah.
But I think finding ourselves faithful in however small those first financial fruits are,
that's good.
Will really set us up for what God may have for us in the years to come.
That's real good.
Wow.
That's real excellent. Good. Yeah. What's the most, and this may be a repeat of what you've already said, but what's the most overlooked financial area that church planners miss?
I think communication
really?
Around financial matters and being, whether that's being overtly transparent with your key leadership group about the reality of the situation.
Yeah.
Okay. Or whether that's communicating to those who have begun to give how much it's needed and appreciated.
That's right.
Because what you're really doing as a plant, as much as anything, you're inviting those people to come along with you on this journey that the Lord has for you.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so you need their time, you need their talents, you need their financial resources.
That's right.
But it's really, hey, we feel like God's doing something here at this church plant. We're inviting you to be a part. And so many times, you know, we're asking, we need a little more.
Yeah.
But just that communication piece about here's where we are. Here's what we've taken in.
Yeah.
Here's how it compares to our essential needs. You know, ideally, we wouldn't be spending this much on facilities, or we wouldn't be spending this much on our people, our personnel.
Yep.
We'd be doing some things mission-wise in the community. In order for us to get to that next step and do that,
yeah.
here's where the giving has to be. And so I think just communicating here's where these giving levels have to be for us as a local body of believers in order to do the things that we think the Lord is calling us to do.
Wow.
And so a lot of times I just think people fail to understand how the giving connects.
Yeah.
That's
you know,
right.
That's right. They may be dealing, and the Lord may be working with them in their own situation about, I'm trying to get to the point where I can tithe.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to give something, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to go from tipping to tithing, right?
Yeah, there you go.
But I think allowing them to see where it fits in the context of the local church plant.
Yeah.
And the local ministry that they're involved in, I think that's a critical insight. You're not trying to burden them with it, right?
No,
it's not
no.
their burden. But they need to be aware.
That's right.
And they need to be aware of, hey, when we get to this next step financially, here's the options it opens for us.
Yeah.
And until we do, here's the constraints we're under. And it may provide them a degree of maybe compassion or understanding of the struggle that is taking place that maybe just the planter is feeling or just that core group's feeling.
Yeah.
And again, this isn't going to be a gather everybody together and let's talk about how burdensome the finances are.
That's right.
It's just an awareness. And I think communication and being willing to talk about the financial realities are some of the things that get overlooked. Initially.
I think that goes also for their partners.
Yes.
Candy and I, we attend Indian Springs. So our first obligation is to Indian Springs.
Right.
I'm sure Pastor Matt's out there going, woo, but there's also a church plant that we support that we actually launched in early 2000s near Branson. And Pastor Jonathan there's really good. We send him a few extra bucks every month, but he'll send me a handwritten note every month.
Wow.
And say, thank you for X amount. And he always has that amount to the penny. And it went towards this project.
Yeah.
And when we did this, this child got saved or this happened. And I want to thank you. And so what it comes for us is not a burden, but a joy for us to write that extra check because, one, I know he's going to communicate with me about what it meant to his ministry, and I have peace of mind about it, and you know that it's helping.
Well, and not just peace of mind. You're then allowed to share in the fruit of the ministry.
That's right, and it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, and there's a joy in that.
That's right.
And so, again, it's almost like we withhold that a little bit from the folks sometimes.
We're afraid. As a church, I'm going to be honest with you. As a church planter, you get – and I don't know where it came from because we're trying to be, unfortunately, church plants fall into that I'm going to be the anti-other church. And so I'm trying so hard not to talk about money, not to talk about these other things. And we miss, like you said, we miss bringing people along in the journey. Let me dig a little deeper. Can I dig a little deeper on this question? So I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to tell you some of the things that I've done in the past. I have put together, I mean, first church plant, second church plant we did, I tried to communicate where we were, not in a, like you said, gather around, whatever, but I would say, hey, you know what? Here are the basic things that we have, right? Or basic things that we have to do. We have utilities, we have facility, and then we want to do a little bit with ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would break down, this was back in the day when you would count ministry based on or count dollars weekly. Mm-hmm. Now that people give online, they just come all the time. We just count it monthly. But I would say if we receive X amount per week, then we would be able to meet budget. And I would communicate that amount based on how many we were saying. Is that too much communication? Is that not enough?
I don't think so. I think it's ideal. I use communication almost sometimes for myself individually as accountability. You know, a lot of times I'll say, we're going to do this on this date or when we get to this point financially. And a lot of times that creates an expectation that you're now accountable for.
That's right.
And as a leader, you want to deliver on those things. And first of all, I do think it's important to have a plan. Budget's one thing, but you also need a plan.
Yeah.
If we're blessed with manna from heaven, you know, if money comes in above and beyond our budget, what do we do?
Right. Do we have a plan for what we do with it?
What's the plan?
Yeah.
Right. And I think having those ongoing communications about, again, here's essentials, here's our core budget, here's what we need to cover, but here would be ideal. If we had these resources come in, ideally we'd be able to do these things.
Yeah.
Then you help connect those dots. Now you have to follow through, right? Right. And you have right. to deliver right. to the extent that you can on when the resources do show up and when the Lord does provide. Are we continuing to steward those in the way in which we said we would?
That's right.
And are we then taking the steps to fund ministry or missions in our local community? Or are we then taking the steps to find our own facility? Or are we then taking the steps to have a conversation about adding a part-time staff member? Are we, you know, so you're having those conversations about
all of those.
What can we do
yeah.
when the resources show up?
Yeah.
Almost, again, not from scarcity, but abundance, when they show up.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
You know, when we get to that point. And I do think that's really helpful to do. And then one of the things, and this is going to get in the weeds a little bit, and some of you, Vince, this was probably before you came to the state, but Neil remembers me handing out a book called The Choice.
Oh,
we
yeah.
handed
oh,
out
I
a,
have The Choice.
Oh, yeah, I still got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, all kinds of copies. Well, right. one of the things it talks about, and it's written to the church and to ministries, is be careful what you measure.
That's right.
Because we all want to do good on whatever the scoreboard
that's
is, right?
right.
And so that's another thing that leads into this, and that what are we measuring, or what are those milestones, what are those trigger points that we lay out for the church plant that's going to captivate our attention
yeah.
as we're trying to move from these certain phases of growth within
yeah.
within the church.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is, depending on what phase of growth you're in, you're measuring different things.
That's right. That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I just think we have to be careful there, but we also have to communicate. And if we communicate in a way that's transparent, we're accountable.
Yeah.
There's no curiosity. There's no doubt about where the resources are going.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this. So, I'm 56. So growing up,
my God, you're old.
I know I am old. You're older than I am, dude. But we won't go there.
Am I the youngest one here?
Yeah. Yeah. You are. You are.
So.
But you're the smartest
that,
one here,
Bobby.
I
really appreciate that. Can we go to commercial break now?
All right.
So growing up for me, and I didn't even grow up Southern Baptist. We were Free Will Baptist, but we were taught you tithe. It was not even a discussion.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
did it. Yep. And it was 10%, yep. Bobby. I mean, there was no, and we were taught 10% tithe. And then if you want to do anything above that, then that was your offering, right?
Yes. Yep.
So I raised my boys that way, but my oldest, Sam, he's 24. His wife's in pharmacy school at Auburn, and when they've been searching for a church and they finally found one, they don't think that way. Even though he was raised in that, he's part of that generation now where if I'm going to give part of the money that God gave me, if I'm going to give it to you, I want that transparency on the front end before I decide that I'm putting anything in this offering plate.
Yep.
And if it's going for exorbitant, what they think is exorbitant of maybe too much salary or for ornate stuff in the church, they're not going to do it.
Nope.
Now, if it goes to feed kids on the street, in the school system, which we're going to have Laramie LeCue come talk later, or if it's going to go towards something else, then, man, they'll give it all day long, even out of their limited budget.
That's true.
Well, and what we've seen is that, and my pastor, David Mitchell, says that people are down on what they're not up on. Right, which means that people
true.
Are there's that's a natural true. Negative bias about what I don't know.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
And then not only that, we've seen for years that people deal with a known negative better than they do an unknown. Which means if you come present to them a known financial difficulty or situation that you're trying to navigate, but you respect and appreciate them enough to, hey, I'm going to be transparent.
Yeah.
Here's what we're dealing with. Here's the issue.
Yeah.
Here's the known negative. Then that's better than just an unknown. I don't know where this money goes.
That's right.
I mean,
that'll kill you.
People do better with a known negative than they do an unknown.
Which goes back, like you said, honest, transparent, and communication,
so,
which is cool.
So that's why I love what you guys do through Water's Edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, and there's other companies out there, but we partner with Water's Edge, but it just takes it off the plate. You have an approved budget. They help you navigate it. If something's out of whack, they're kind of your net.
That's right.
And I'm just telling you, you cannot have too much accountability or much transparency.
Nope.
You just can't.
That's right.
No, and again, Water's Edge being Southern Baptist, you know, they're within the family.
They're vetted.
They're a nonprofit. I mean, they're the ultimate.
Wait. They're
a nonprofit. Nonprofit 501c3. I mean, they are truly a ministry. And so for them to be truly a ministry partner, in the truest sense of the word, then they will help you account for every dollar that 100%. Comes into your plan. Yeah. And then you can basically say, well, if you don't like how it was accounted for, let me get this nonprofit Southern Baptist accounting firm on the phone.
Right.
And they'll tell you why we had to account for it that way.
Yeah.
And so I think leaning into that can provide a degree of comfort in that I don't have to worry that it's not being accounted for correctly. I know it's being accounted for correctly. It's now on me as a church planner, as a leader, to just communicate with our people in a way that, again, is transparent. And again, that's why I said communication, which you may say that's the craziest. We're sitting there talking about money and how can communication be the most missed thing?
It makes sense. I mean, if I'm sitting in a congregation and I see a leader that says, hey, guys, this is what we need. This is where we're going. This is all these other things. And you're honest. And then Bobby's going to have to come back because I really want to get into a couple of other things about Water's Edge, about how you communicate. This is because we're out of time on this one, Bobby. But this
already?
Yeah, we are. Man. I'm sorry. This is good because I'm not an expert in those things. I mean, and most church planters aren't. We can count nickels and dimes in here. Right. And, you know, we don't teach a lot, even the
assessment. Well, and truthfully, we don't want our church planters or pastors, for that matter, to be experts in this. They need to be doing other stuff.
Right.
God
has
provided other born-again people who
are gifted,
who are missional, and want to enable and empower the mission of the church.
Exactly.
Here's the thing. With money, any impropriety, nothing has to happen except somebody thinks it happened. And you can't disprove that because you don't have your stuff in order.
That's right.
Well, and this stuff takes care of that, the stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, I'll share, and we can conclude on this, that one of the things when I transitioned to this position and to full-time vocational ministry nearly 10 years ago, Byron Eisman, who had been a longtime board member at the foundation, was one of the partners at the Friday firm, he and I had lunch, and he said, Bobby, don't ever give your board a reason not to trust you.
That's right.
Wow.
And I would say the same thing would be the challenge to all of our pastors, all of our leaders. You know, don't give that leadership, don't give the church a reason not to trust you.
Man.
And especially as it pertains to finances.
Say that one more time.
Don't
ever give them a reason
not to trust you.
Not to trust you. Man, that's a word for chairmen of the board.
That's a
real word for CEOs, CFOs, COOs, and that's a word for pastors.
That's right.
Right there, all church leaders. Man, so let me recap here real quick. Two principles I pulled out of this. If you're going back, all of these things that we're talking about are going to be in the show notes. One of the things that Bobby talked about when we talked about budget, he talked about, and this is good for me, we talked about those three phases, the two that are important, the essential phase of the budget and the ideal phase. But then that may lead you to the dream phase. But you also said, don't rush to the dream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool to dream, but don't miss the essential and the ideal.
Right.
Trying to jump into the dream phase. But here's the other thing, communication.
Yeah.
I never, when you said that, I was like, oh, okay. I nodded my head, yeah, but I'm thinking, what? But that's the biggest thing. I remember having the very first church plant, the very first meeting, and I put everything on paper. I put what the utilities were, the total, and all that other stuff. And a lady came up to me and she said, I've never been a part of a church where they showed me everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even look, we showed her everything but the routing number to the church account.
That's right.
Because I didn't want anybody to jump
100%.
In there. That's cool.
So Bobby, your website, abf.org?
Yes. Yes, okay. Sir. abf.org.
Yeah.
And any Arkansas Baptist Church staff member, pastor,
that's right,
can call you and
absolutely
have full access to all of your services at the foundation, which are numerous.
Yeah. The super cool thing about our staff is full of people that were secularly trained in business, tax, law, those type areas, and they're all called to serve the local church and called to serve ministers.
Man.
Yeah, but you know, every time I've talked to, it doesn't matter who it is, Dylan, you, Kurt, they've got the monies and cents and the legal stuff, but they're always talking about the mission of the church, evangelizing, the Great Commission, how can we? So it's not just about these things, but it's the tool that God gave us and the accountability and the proper stewardship.
Right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love
That's
it.
Awesome.
Love it.
Again, all the resources and things that we mentioned today are in the show notes of the podcast. You can also email us at nscoggins, no R, at AB, that's an inside joke, at absc.org. Thanks for joining us on this episode. Bobby, thank you, man. So
yeah, man,
we're going to schedule it again, and then we're going to tell you what direction we're going to go, because I'm a fan of Bobby's.
Me too.
Bobby breaks it down.
He's been a great partner for ever since I've been here.
He's done this. You've done stuff for the last church plant when we had a facility, and you've helped us with this one, and y'all have helped me personally, and it's – there are a lot of things, and we're gonna talk about that. It's our prayer that the content and the context of this podcast is a blessing to you, regardless of where you are on the church planting or multiplication journey. Again, show notes, contact information in Scoggins at absc.org. Make sure you like, rate, download, and share this podcast with your friends, and we'll see you next time on
The Battle Plan
Podcast.
Thanks.